listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Man, we want to thank ACTA, humanitarian human rights activist, Danny Glover, right here on The Good Morning Show, man. Good brother, man. Been knowing him for years. Really connected to New Orleans, whether it was the Algebra Project, pre-Katrina, post-Katrina. He has humanitarian efforts helping us here. The fight for workers' rights and living wages here. Him and I hosted a workshop at Southern University a few years ago. So thank you, Danny, for staying engaged, man. God bless you. We love you. And let's continue to support his work around the world. The moment we've all been waiting for, man. You know, you had to go out of town, man. Oh, yeah. You know.
I'm coming after Danny Glover.
I had my heavy hitters all come on together.
How about that, boy? I'm not worthy of that.
Making us think.
Sure. That's right. I'm with you.
Mr. Make Us Think.
Well, thanks for having me back. Let me tell you, I'm sorry, you know, after the election, we had this family trip.
Yeah, you had
planned
to go around the world.
Oh, man, listen, it was nice. We went to New York City for Thanksgiving and saw the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Man, was that nice? It was awesome.
That's a big old turkey float, huh?
It was amazing. It was amazing. Let's tell you, those balloons, you know, the amount of people that hold them, it's like they're struggling. Right. But, I mean, it's like 40, 50 people holding these balloons. But it was fun. We had a good time. It was cold outside. So
good thing you don't have strong winds during the Macy's.
That's a real.
I'll fly away.
That's right. They have weights at the bottom of them. All kinds of stuff I learned, you know, since I was up there to see. But, yeah, it was really nice. It was a one-time experience. I don't have to do it again, but I can, you know, check that off
the
bucket list.
You know, the scuttlebutt was, what people were saying, that the election blew you out of town.
Why? I was happy with seeing what happened. I mean, you know, it was a wonderful thing.
I mean, talking about upset the system.
Oh, yeah. Well, exactly. You know, listen, you know, I think 504, I wrote an article called, I forgot what the name of it, but it was basically Uptown versus Downtown, and that's what happened in New Orleans.
And I posted the last article you did. Got a lot of great comments. I thought it was very well written. A great analysis that we weren't getting from other people about kind of in the weeds about the election. But before we get into that, man, this you've been talking about this thing called net neutrality, right?
Yeah, well, let's talk
about
that.
What is it? Why is it? Why should we call it folks down here in New Orleans with all this other stuff? Why should net neutrality be of concern for any of us?
Let's talk about what it is first and then talk about why it's important, why I think it's important, and I think why people, if they fully understand it, will get involved in. I think everybody can take some action today. It's really easy. All you have to do is go on the internet and you can express your opinion, and I'll tell you how to do that. But what net neutrality is, basically the internet now is equal to everybody. My website, Think 504, gets the same amount of access as NOLA.com or TheAdvocate.com. So if you're in New Orleans and you want information about what's happening in New Orleans,
subscribe to Think 504.
Go to Think504.com.
Very provocative, hard-hitting, profound, real articles.
Thank you. I appreciate that, OT. But what the important thing is that right now, everybody can get that. Cox is our internet. In New Orleans, you have two ISPs, basically. Internet service providers would be AT&T and Cox. Now, they provide equal access to everybody. So somebody types in www.think504.com, bam, my website pops up. Nice-looking website. Somebody else types in www.nola.com, for example, bam, their website pops up. Same speed, same access, same everything. That's net neutrality. Everybody has equal access. What making it go away means, though, that if I write an article, for example, I've had articles about Cox that were unflattering to Cox. Well, they could slow it down. They could throttle it down so that you type in www.think504 and.
So if you're challenging Cox, right? Mm-hmm. Like you ought to be challenging them now about the racket. And the monopoly that they have in this town right now.
Interesting.
And I've talked to Councilmember Jason Williams, who's chairman of the utility committee.
Sure.
I'm about to go off on Cox because it's a scam they're running in this town. Mm-hmm. They used to have four or five black contractors that used to work with them. Mm-hmm. Now I don't think they have any. They contract with people out of Arkansas, Mississippi, and Texas to do their line work and their connection work right here. But no one at the city council level is saying anything.
Right.
If you get disconnected, instead of leaving the lines, the contractor will come out and disconnect the lines that they can't just turn you on now.
That's right.
They have to charge you a fee to come out and reconnect the line, then charge you to turn you on. more money, scam.
Boy, bro, that lit you up. And I'm with you, though, 100% right. And that is what net neutrality is. So I write an article saying
and
exactly
the city council
that.
Regulates their franchise agreement.
Exactly right. And you're 100% right. So we're off a little bit, but
oh,
I agree.
I'm sorry, man.
we're trying to stick with net neutrality.
It's personal. Net neutrality.
People cut your cocks off.
Call your city council on cocks. we want another operator here in town. We want more choices.
Right. I'm with you.
Let's get rid of the monopoly.
Right. Right. But as it relates to net neutrality, if for example, you are on the air, and you know WBOK has a website, OT. And so now all of a sudden they hear you on the air saying what you just said. Do you know what Cox could say? Let's slow down their website. We can get there. We can take care of that Oliver Thomas talking all that city council regulation
stuff. You mean like the government do when our signal go out sometime in the middle?
Let me just say. I don't know if that happens, but I can tell you this.
When our equipment get damaged all of a
time? I know lightning strikes, y'all. I don't get it. Over and over again. But look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. The point that is that ISPs will have the ability to ghettoize if they want the internet. ISPs, right. You know how
What's an ISP?
Internet service provider. Cox. Or AT&T or Comcast or depends upon where you live in the country. You know, there are thousands of them, literally, hundreds of them, I should say. But the point though is that if you think about your cable TV, you buy TV in packages, right? If you want the NFL Network, that's a different package.
NBA package.
Okay, right. There you go. That's a different package. Well, that's what you could get with the internet. You want to get black content on your
African channel.
If you want to get websites that devote themselves to black progressiveness, empowering black families, well, that's a little bit more. So they can actually set up packages and bundles of websites that you can access.
Bundling.
Exactly right. And so that's what net neutrality going away does. Now, here's the danger of it. Right now, your president, who you talked about him a lot, has set up a new head of the FCC who was a attorney for Verizon. Same thing with, Fox is in charge of the hen houses.
Kind of like Bobby Jindal in Medicaid.
Exactly right. Those kinds of things. And so what happened, the way the FCC is structured, the chairman who's coming in now has the deciding vote, basically, the way it's set up. And so he's likely to eliminate net neutrality. There are some things. This is the second time this is coming up in recent years, though. And again, they were leaning toward getting rid of net neutrality, but there was this huge outpouring of dissent from the public. And so, what people can do again, if they want to, is it's a really convoluted process. You have to go to FCC.gov, and several layers.
Contact our congressmen, our senators.
You could do that too, but you actually have to directly, if you want to get involved, you have to directly go to the FCC. So here's the best. There's a shortcut that I can give everybody out there. If you go to this website, go FCC yourself. .com. If you put that in on the right, there's a link that says Express Yourself. Express it. You click on that, and you can put it. Now this is all public information. You're going to put your name and your address and that kind of stuff. It's going to the federal government, and you say save net neutrality and save Title II. I don't want to get down into the weeds of what that means, but those are the two things that will save, that will keep the internet free and open and have equal access for all internet, for all websites.
Wow. Net neutrality, man. Thank you. Please go to FCCYourself.com.
That's it.
Go to the comment.
Go
to the Express Yourself.
Yeah, it's off to the right. Express it. And then it brings up a box where you can.
We want to keep net neutrality.
Keep net neutrality.
Hey, Jeff Thomas, look. You tried to hip us on the city master plan a long time ago. Now we see all of these other issues and only issues coming to bear.
It's too late.
It's after the fact. These things matter, and that's why you work hard to make us
think.
Exactly. Think. Now, you blew out of town after the election.
I'm sorry, yeah. Family vacation.
Politics in New Orleans. What is politics in New Orleans about? Is it about serving people, like you and I have talked about, the social order here is politicians, mm-hmm. business, and people are last. Mm-hmm. Where it works is people, business, and politicians are the supporting entity, the mm-hmm. servants.
Sure.
It doesn't work like that here.
No, listen, New Orleans is a small market. I was in New York City where, you know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses and mm-hmm. business opportunities and people
there's
can
a,
do business.
There's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money in New York City. Oh, you can go to a place like Houston, another big city, or Atlanta. There are corporations that have jobs, and so people have access to income, economic
opportunity. Houston ain't waiting on the federal government for recovery.
No, they're back.
They're recovering.
Well, they are.
They are in a way, but they're not totally reliant upon Big Brother.
That's right. Well, let me tell you, you know, New Orleans was devastated by Katrina. Houston, it was kind of like a little speed bump. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of 80% of the city, less than 2% of the city was impacted. So people were there and able to come back. My house there flooded. We're working on it now. I was thankfully, unfortunately, in that 2%. But we're getting it back together and, you know, we're making things happen there. but the way politics works, the way the economic structure is in New Orleans is business people's incomes are determined by access to government contracts. Mm-hmm. And so it's imperative if you want to have any money mm-hmm. in this city, if you don't have a small business, if you don't have, you know, a computer consulting company, if you don't have a property development company, if you're not a contractor, there are limited opportunities here. One of the best.
And private industry has their clique. The tourism industry has their clique.
Sure.
And it's very difficult to crack into those cliques.
That's right. And so. And then we've often talked about how in New Orleans the tourism industry is a low wage industry.
Multi-billion dollar industry.
High
profit margins.
Yeah, but exactly right. But the people at the bottom are doing all of the laborious work mm-hmm. and getting paid minimum wage. And
very few African-American and female contractors in the tourism industry.
Exactly right.
Hardly any.
Exactly right. And so access to capital in New Orleans, one of the easiest or best ways to get access to money is through government contracts.
Right.
And so control of politics is critical. If people can...
Especially for black people.
For black people, right. Because, you know, we don't have capital. I mean, we don't have, you know, historically we've been denied economic opportunities. And so, you know, one of the biggest differences between white and black people is when their parents die, white people generally get $150,000 worth of inheritance. Sure. When black people die, we get nothing.
Yeah.
These are facts. These are economic facts.
You know, you owe money.
Yeah, exactly right. We're scraping to come up with money to bury our loved ones. And so this is a fact of life. And so because of that, that makes politics critical. It becomes rough and tumble. It is a do or die. It is a way to have access to capital. And in New Orleans, traditionally, we had the alphabet soup organizations, we like to call them. We had Bull, Cool, So, mm-hmm. all of those,
mm-hmm.
Life. But those have kind of gone away in recent years, except for Bold. And Life is still there. And the others are there, but in terms of influence, it's...
Influence has waned over time.
Influence has waned
Their relationship time. With people over time.
Right.
So given the, I think, Soul, on the Soul ballot, mm-hmm. they supported LaToya Cantrell.
Mm-hmm.
Tips mm-hmm. supported LaToya Cantrell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bold... was part of her political family. Though LaToya Cantrell, let's make it clear, is not a member of Bold. Those were her relationships.
That's right. Exactly right. But this is, I'm talking a little bit more historical right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened in recent times is there used to be 25, 30 years ago, to be elected into political office, mm-hmm. you had to come up through one of those organizations.
Absolutely.
Right? But now... In the last 10, 15 years, it's actually been kind of two bases of power. It's been, and maybe the last 10 years, it's been Cedric Richmond, and it's been, and that's the downtown group. And the uptown group has been Bold, Karen Carter-Peterson, right? And so... It's rough and tumble. It's a power struggle. This is the political dynamic.
And you would think those two would be naturally aligned given our issues.
And they've worked together in the past.
But politically, you're saying socially, they're usually competing against each other. That's unfortunate.
They really are. Mm-hmm. And so it's about power and control and mm-hmm. access to money and contracts.
Right.
And so there are only so many contracts. And so New Orleans, the city government even has limited and finite contracts that are available.
So there isn't enough for them to get along and take care of all their people?
You know, maybe they could work out something. I think they could, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what is.
Okay.
All right, and what is that we have these two warring factions.
You know you're getting deep, huh?
I'm telling you
keep,
the truth.
Keep going.
I'm keeping it real with you. We have these two warring factions. We have Uptown versus Downtown. Mm-hmm. We have Cedric Richmond, Blair Boutte, Ike Spears, Karen Carter Peterson. Name some of the people in that organization.
Jay Banks. Jim Singleton. Doug Evans.
Exactly.
He retired. No, he's not retired.
No, he's back. He's
Darren
back
Meyer.
Exactly right. And so these are competing.
Barbara Lason.
Dueling factions. I mean, these are warriors going after mm-hmm. it. Now, I will have to say, though, that while they compete, there is a certain level of respect that mm-hmm. is amongst them, that they don't drag each other through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened in this mayoral campaign was a little different, and it has changed that dynamic in such a way that now we're seeing all the gloves are off. We're seeing
a fight for survival.
A fight for survival. We're seeing bloody knuckles. This is
innuendo and accusations.
This is knockdown
and charges
drag
and countercharges.
This is why. This is how I'd like to talk. How a woman from California who used a city issued credit card can make groceries, got elected mayor of New Orleans, be the 7th Ward Creole woman, but in the process might end up getting indicted for misuse of that credit.
Before you get to that, for mm-hmm. the first time, Dr. Brian Turner. Young man who, and I thought that Uptown Downtown stuff was old, but he told me when him and his organization supported LaToya Cantrell,
mm-hmm.
He had a very good friend, a close friend,
mm-hmm.
Whose name I won't name, who said, "Man, downtown people ain't, especially for no mayor's race, we're not supposed to be with them uptown and people."
Mm-hmm.
He was
mm-hmm.
actually told that.
Sure.
I hadn't heard that kind of foolishness
in a long time. Right. Well, here's the deal with that, I think. You know, it used to be in New Orleans, to win the mayor's race, if you could carry 7, 8, and 9 and a little bit of crossover vote, you won the mayor's race.
Yeah. So, downtown could usually beat uptown in the citywide race.
Listen, that gave you Dutch Morial, Sidney Bartholomew, Mark Morial,
Ray Nagin.
It gave you that. That is the formula that worked and dominated the city. Mm-hmm. And only until Katrina was that upset and the population base depopulated New Orleans.
And if you got Algiers, it was over.
But even Algiers, yeah, that was always, you know, they have now, well, back then it was
mostly white.
Well, it was, you know, remember Troy Carter,
He won
by 23 votes, right, exactly right. But, right, there's always been a strong black political contingent.
For the second time in our history, mm-hmm. Someone not from New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
not of mm-hmm. Passant Blanc or Creole mm-hmm. descent,
mm-hmm.
not from a traditional New Orleans family with a fancy last name,
mm-hmm.
Is now our mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how did that
and
happen?
And one with every sector of every group.
How did that happen?
Jeff Thomas, make us think.
I'll make you think about it. Let's talk about it. I mean, you know, lots of people like to think that there's this wizard behind the scenes pulling all of the strings and saying, "I'm going to do this over mm-hmm. here and that over there and mm-hmm. sprinkle a little of this."
Right.
And all of a sudden, I got LaToya Cantrell me. Right.
And your vote doesn't matter.
It does. It's not true. The reason that LaToya Cantrell won by the third biggest landslide in modern history. Is there were a bunch of dynamics that came together. The perfect storm, kind of like the perfect storm that got John Bel Edwards elected
Great
governor.
Example.
Yeah. And so
you're the second person who knows what they're talking about to actually describe it like that. And Jeff Thomas, you're right.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that, OT. So let's talk about how this happened. So, you know, early on, after Desiree Charbonnet announced, she immediately with her
front runner,
huge war chest,
all the money,
right,
all the 90% of the political support.
But let's talk about all the money. Here's what this is all of the money she was able through her connection to Congressman Richmond mm-hmm. to get money raised outside of the New Orleans power struggle. Now this is what everybody needs to understand. In New Orleans, you might have a lot of black you used to have maybe a lot of black elected officials, but they had to pander to the money crowd. the uptown crowd who supported their
elections. You can't raise your money in the African American community here. We are poor.
Exactly right.
Even the folk who think they who have money,
exactly.
They, first of all, they ain't giving it to you politically.
Exactly right.
And many don't have that kind of money.
The only the only person who was able to do that initially was Dutch Morial, and that was a different time. It was an initial.
That was a
first
lot of $5, $10, $100
exactly
checks.
Right. And it was keep the drive. It was the first time you had a black mayor in the city, and so it was a cause. Yeah, it was a cause. Thank you. That's the word I was searching for. But so now getting back to what we have here.
The perfect storm.
Right. So we have Desiree, who's raised her money outside of.
More money than all the other candidates
more
combined.
Money, and so she didn't raise her money in Uptown New Orleans, which is traditionally the money base in mm-hmm. elections in New Orleans. She raised over $1 million outside of that power base. That power base was afraid. That power base was shaking in their boots. That power base was, what do you mean Desiree doesn't want our money? They were calling Desiree saying, look, we want to give you some money. And she said, I don't need your money. I'm good, baby, because I got $1 million
right.
in the bank. I'm a seven ward Creole. I know how to do this. We have the path to victory.
Right.
So that Uptown power base, Leslie Jacobs and her crew, decided, you know what? We cannot let this happen. We cannot have this outside.
And not be beholden
to us.
You want to go to the lines right now?
Go
to the lines right now. Line one, Brother Ronald, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
We got an element, Oliver Tom, they call it PW, Project Whipping. When Betty Jefferson beat your guy out there in the Irish Channel,
Ronnie Burke,
they said we'll never let this happen again.
Ronnie
and that's
Burke.
When their first demise of public housing was the St. Thomas.
Ronnie Burke.
When you ran and sat in that Cali and ate a hot dog and was drinking a Coke playing dominoes and Rosenwald,
yeah.
And folks that didn't vote came out and vote because they went to play at dominoes. And so part of public housing was the demise of the African American vote.
Absolutely.
But I got to close by saying this. We got the dumbest children in the world, according to the statistics, and we spend $4,200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
pursuit.
I just need to ask a question, Big O, because you know, I know you know how we went at with the Woodson thing.
Yes.
When they was in these activists, and I think, Jeff, you wrote an article about it, when they were talking about the activists in this city, it was the activists that said all these crash school board was bad with cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
And to come to find out, they was being paid under the table by one of the members that was convicted. So in the behind that, it traced their money back to the name you just called, Lester Jacobs. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Behind every rock.
That's right.
Under
right.
every stone.
Ronald
there's always,
always the
been
deep.
Some uptown influence. That's
exactly
a very
right.
good point. Thank
exactly
you, Ronald.
Right. He's right, 100% right. Mm-hmm. Listen, so there's always been this uptown influence. And so this uptown influence was not going to have this. So you have Desiree Charbonnet leading in the polls. You have Leslie Jacobs saying, wait a minute, you don't want our money? You're not going to be beholden to us? We got to attack.
We got to get another candidate.
So we need another candidate. Mm-hmm. So you had floundering. You had LaToya Cantrell, who wasn't from here, who was this mm-hmm. community activist. Mm-hmm. She didn't fit that profile
right.
that they were looking for. But you had Mike Bagnaris.
Monument guy.
Who also fit the profile, you know. I mean, 7, 8, and 9,
yeah.
Creole kind of dude,
yeah.
St. Aug Grad.
Good hair.
You said that. All that kind of stuff. And so he became, but his campaign was floundering. But he was out there running, shooting his wad. You know, his campaign was dead broke.
He put his own money.
His campaign, he was on his last leg. But because Desiree wouldn't take money from the uptown crowd.
He would,
because he was broke. And so you know what? He became their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So they started the Not For Sale NOLA, right? And they put out these bigoted, race pandering mm-hmm. flyers and commercials.
Willie Horton, a couple of black political operatives and businessmen.
Exactly right. They made and so this is where it went from being, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, uptown versus downtown,
mm-hmm.
Karen Carter Peterson versus Cedric mm-hmm. Grissom. There was a level mm-hmm. of respect. Nobody drug anybody.
They made y'all in their dog skin.
Well, right. Well, what they did though
for that moment, what
they did was they attacked Ike and Blair.
Yeah.
And they really literally drugged those men through the mud. Their families, I mean, they,
contrary to whoever she was, they defined her campaign
through Ike and Blair. And so, you know, they talked about something that happened 30 years ago mm-hmm. with Blair. They talked about, they mischaracterized the work that Ike was doing on behalf of
Willie Horton.
Yeah, exactly right. They made them the black boogeyman.
Right.
But they did it in a way that, you know, all's fair, love, war, and politics, but they did it in a way where they drug them through the mud. They tarnished them.
Right.
In a city where they've lived their entire lives, they did everything they could to embarrass them in an effort to defeat Desiree Charbonnet. So, it's part of politics. You get involved in that game. It's a big boy. You
right.
put on your big boy drawers and
right.
you go to work every day. And you got to expect it, unfortunately. But so what happened, in an attempt to bring up Mike Bagnaris, they went after with full glory.
And nobody's paying attention to Cantrell.
She's just rolling her boat. She's doing her little thing.
Rowing her boat.
And so, but what happened, right, exactly right, is she kept doing her positive campaign,
Listening sessions.
Well, let's talk about LaToya Cantrell, because that's mm-hmm. critical that you bring this up. She is a great politician.
Listening sessions all over the city.
She has a big personality. You know, I remember once I was in a meeting at Justice and Beyond, and she came in, and she was, you know, bigger than life, kind of. And mm-hmm. it was at a time when it was the libraries, and it was the libraries just trying to get their millage passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just coming in as a city council person, and she came in, and there had been a lot of talk kind of against, do we really need all of this money for libraries? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sure, who could be against libraries? But there was talk about, you know, is this a wise choice of use of money?
Mm-hmm.
And LaToya came in, and the conversation that in that meeting had been kind of slanting towards this might not be a great idea. We like libraries. It's important. But maybe the millage is not a good idea. LaToya came in, talked in a big booming voice, took complete control of the room. Mm-hmm. It was awe-inspiring. And she turned that conversation in a way.
Like she did in the runoff.
And so what you have there is a great candidate. You have a person who is able to connect with people, who's able to take charge of a room, she's magnetic. She's able to draw people mm-hmm. in. So you have that versus Desiree Charbonnet, who is more genteel, who is less outgoing, which is not to say that she's shy, because she certainly is not that. She's a nice lady, but she doesn't have that same magnetism that LaToya mm-hmm. Cantrell has. So now you have the effects of the not. So then the next thing that happens is you have Sidney Torres with his debate, right? So it turns out
that Judge Charbonnet missed.
That Judge Charbonnet decided not to go.
Right.
Because that decision was critical to the campaign. Because it turns out that also before Desiree pulled out of the debate, Ms. Judge Charbonnet pulled out of the debate, two local media people pulled out of the debate, mm-hmm. WDSU and WWL pulled out of the debate. So, and they contacted the campaigns and said, listen, we're not going to be in this debate. We're not so sure that it's going to be nonpartisan. And so we aren't going to participate in this debate. So that's the reason that I'm told that they pulled out of that Desiree Charbonnet pulled out of that debate.
It was a conspiracy.
Right.
Set up.
It was a setup. So then that threw Sidney Torres into a tizzy. All right.
How dare you?
He threw a temper tantrum with millions of dollars. And so that's part mm-hmm. of the problem when you have access to capital and you are able to do these kinds of things. So now you have two fronts attacking Desiree Charbonnet, not related. Now, Sidney Torres and Leslie Jacobs, while they may have had the same agenda, they
no
are not
relationships
in the same camp.
At all.
Exactly right.
Different
exactly
worlds.
Right. Exactly right. He is new money. They are older mm-hmm. money. They, you know, and so blue bloods versus this new Shalmation.
He Shalmation.
Right.
Versus
so,
St. Charles Avenue.
Exactly right. Not allies.
Don't mix. Look.
Right. Exactly right.
We'll finish this segment until we're gonna take a break.
Okay, we got to take a break. All right,
time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna come back to the perfect storm. Not for sale, NOLA, Sidney Torres, the voice of the people on one side, while Cantrell is still rowing that boat.
Being the big magnetic
rowing
personality.
That boat right down
the
middle.
Pulling people in.
We'll be back. Man, thank you. Laying out a whole lot of connections to the dots and stuff that have not been written about or talked about. We'll be back with Jeff Thomas right after the break.
WBOK New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Lord, I can't wait till we have reality radio when you have cameras all over the studio capturing all this amazing stuff that goes on in the conversations. Man, first of all, Ro Brown and Warren Bell, icons.
Legends, brother. Legends.
Right, you're talking about.
I had to take that picture.
You're talking about two people well into their hundreds, right?
150 at least.
Well, at least. Warren Bell, about 150. Ro Brown, 163 years old.
They look good.
I mean,
though,
they look good, man. I want to be like them when I grow up. They can still articulate.
Yes.
Still brilliant. Yes. They can still deliver the news and sports like nobody else can.
I thought that they had, when I listened in the mornings, right. I think that they took 12 tapes and they're doing it live right here. Perfect. Flawless. It's amazing
Look, you know the brothers are good.
Right.
When they come from New Orleans, you know they're strict with Warren Bell.
Look.
As prim and proper as Warren and Roa, they gotta too.
Say fall.
But they know how to put a comma when they pause,
Humbra.
A period on the end, and an exclamation point when they're excited about the news.
I hear you, fall. I can't compete. Listen, those guys are brilliant. Those guys are legendary.
But let's get back to the brilliance.
Straight out the project.
Straight out. I know. Nothing like a wonderful, educated gangster, right? Humble, sophisticated gangster. Daddy used to always say, you don't have to holler and cuss.
No.
You can be real nice, polite, quiet, and do what you got to do. When
you
holler and cussing, that probably means you're scared.
That's right. That's right.
544-260-9265, man. We're here with Jeff Thomas, Mr. Think 504. You were giving us your analysis. The people on, Voice of the People on one side, Not For Sale Nola on the other side,
right.
And LaTarya Cantrell rowing that boat. Rowing that boat right down the middle.
Right. And so, listen, as the campaign started to take hold, you had four top candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had who was originally at the top, Desiree. You had LaToya. You had Mike Bagnaris. And you had Troy Henry. And so those were your top four candidates who got most of the vote.
And most of the conversation.
And most of the conversation out of the 18 candidates. But so then we were talking a little bit about the fact that Desiree decided, I'm sorry, I keep calling her like I know her personally.
Judge Charbonnet
right. Decided to pull out of the debate. And that rankled Sidney Torres.
He took it personal.
And so
he took it $500,000 personal.
He took it. He went deep in his pocket and had his temper tantrum and yelled and screamed until, you know, some people kind of beat him back a little bit and made him realize, you know, you really are being ridiculous. You say you want to be nonpartisan. You say, but you are attacking one candidate because she chose not to come into your staged debate. But so then, what are the results of these attacks is the question.
Mm-hmm.
What are the results of these attacks?
Talk to us.
So the Not For Sale Nola was solely intent to bring up Mike Bagnaris. So they drug through the mud Ike and Blair, and they drug their names in the mud. They tarnished their
Willie Horton Eyes.
Black boogeyman them. And there's a good article on Think 504 about that. You'll see a picture of Willie Horton and shocking racism in the mayor's race. So people can go to Think 504 and hear it and read it. The result was that not Mike Bagnaris wasn't the polarizing, galvanizing, magnetic personality that LaToya Cantrell was. She was, like you keep saying, rowing her boat, chopping wood.
Miscalculation on the Not For Sale Nola people.
Correct. That they
thought LaToya rowing her boat.
Well, listen, the paradigm was 7, 8, and 9. Wins the race, right? And so
the interesting thing is why you're giving your analysis that both campaign bragged about the fact that they wanted LaToya in the runoff. That was the one that they wanted in the runoff.
Sure, because another part of the paradigm.
They were sure they could beat her.
That same paradigm says that you can't be not from New Orleans and be elected mayor in modern times, right? It just doesn't happen. The paradigm is 7, 8, and 9, black, You called it what? Light-skinned Creole?
Light-skinned Creole. Well, right. The new term is Passant Blanc.
Passant Blanc.
That's the old term, but people are saying it boldly
saying it
now.
They're exactly right, right? When is light-skinned coming back in? I don't know, but...
I don't know.
Listen, bro, I'm happy.
I don't know.
I am. I'm brown-skinned brother, so it don't matter.
Hey, man, you know what you want? More importantly, that you're a good brother.
That's
so LaToya rowing her boat.
Right. So LaToya is rowing her boat. LaToya mm-hmm. has her and when we say rowing her boat, I want people to understand what that means to me. That mm-hmm. means her magnetic personality. Mm-hmm. She's taking over rooms.
Listening sessions. 10, 12, 15 people at a time. Little meetings.
And exactly right. And she is her big personality. She's drawing you in. She's giving you a vision for the city. And it's resonating because mm-hmm. her personality.
Little meetings all over the city.
Exactly right. Constantly working. Chopping wood.
Spending 40 minutes after the debate talking to people.
Exactly right. Whereas Mike Bagnaris is kind of aloof, kind of professor.
Brilliant attorney,
but an older guy. I mean, he and my father were good friends. Mm-hmm. And so I like Judge Bagnaris. I like mm-hmm. him a lot. But he didn't resonate. And then also you had Troy Henry, who was coming up, rising. He started
brilliant.
Late. Right. I mean, if we
more degrees than Jesus.
Exactly right. And he could certainly turn the city around.
Right.
For sure get our water
infrastructure
system together.
Engineering guru.
Exactly right. The man.
Right.
And I hope that the new administration
won every online debate poll
right.
as much as 60-70%.
That's right. And
every online debate poll, tracking poll, said he was clearly the most informative, best candidate at every debate.
Yeah, people call me up and say, your guy, because, you know, he was heavy on Think 504.
Right.
Your guy was clearly the most informed, best candidate.
Hey, buddy, your guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
wow.
We'll vote for him.
How
dude.
Novel.
Exactly. Yeah. So what happened was Troy started rising, and that's taking away votes from Desiree. And Mike Bagnaris kind of stayed the same. But the result.
But interesting phenomenon, though, if you look at New Orleans East, some of the voting patterns, mm-hmm. Bagnaris was very fearful of Henry affecting him.
Sure.
But Henry, the few votes, especially in the primary, Henry actually took more votes from Charbonnet
yes.
than he did Bagnaris.
Exactly right. You would have thought those two St. Aug grads, two black men, would have been competing for the same
didn't
vote.
Happen. Didn't great, happen. Great point,
yeah,
Jeff.
Did not happen, right. But out the bounce effect of the Not For Sale NOLA and the Sidney Torres temper tantrum was LaToya Cantrell. She went from a solid second to a strong first, right? And so we know what happened ultimately. Ultimately, we can talk about the campaign. But I want to talk about – let's get into the runoff. So we have – the two top women, so we know we're making history in New Orleans, right? We have LaToya Cantrell, Desiree Charbonnet in the runoff. We're going to have our first female, African-American female.
Bam! Man. Credit card scandal.
Boom. So that was the first mistake that the – so this is the first mistake the Charbonnet campaign made. Now, here they are.
They got who they wanted.
They think they got who they wanted, but – be careful what you ask for, is mm-hmm. because you might, you know, you have to deal with it. And so the campaign was reeling. Charbonnet's campaign into the runoff was reeling. They were sucking air. They barely made it to the runoff. I mean, think about where you were.
She was on a downward trajectory.
She was falling constantly.
Downward trajectory. Yeah.
Constantly falling.
Yeah.
She was falling constantly. Yeah. Nothing. It was
the runoff couldn't come soon. The primary couldn't end soon enough.
My goodness. If it would have, she might have come in fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. I mean, the negative ads were killing her. The mm-hmm. negative ads 1.5 weeks before the election killed her campaign. Mm-hmm. She barely made it. But now, you know, the runoff is a whole new election. Let's reset. Whew. So here's where we are. So now we got one campaign. So we're thinking, though, if you're in that strategy room, you think 789 from New Orleans, we got a good candidate, but we got some issues, right? We're running out of money, number one. And number two, we've been
– you got a candidate that's not even from here. So you're still in good shape.
You think
allegedly.
You're in good shape. You think you're in good shape. But you think what you have to do is you're doing polling and you're seeing, wait, we're still falling. We are falling right now in the runoff. It's just us two. And what happened in the end was indicative early on in the runoff that Desiree was still falling and that LaToya was rising. So what they had to try to do was right the ship. They had to try to stop the bleeding. So their strategy was to attack LaToya. That was the strategy. Well, let's talk a little bit about negative campaigning. Negative campaigning is highly successful, but highly successful late.
Right.
You got to do it in the last week, week and a half. Otherwise, it's easy for...
To regroup.
To regroup. It's easy
Re-message.
For, it's easy for a counterattack to
Re-message.
Be effective.
Right.
Right. And so, but they were struggling. They how do we stop this? I think they made a critical error. The first critical error they made was going negative too soon against LaToya Cantrell. And never, but the more important error was never addressing the Ike and Blair.
And not redefining Judge Charbonnet.
Exactly right. All she had to do.
Not redefining.
This is my humble
her.
Opinion. Yeah. They didn't ask me to do this.
Right.
But in my humble opinion, all Judge Charbonnet had to say was, listen, I'm not Ike. I'm not Blair. I'm not Bunny. I'm my own woman. I'm going to run this city the way I see fit.
And talk directly to the
and
people.
Talk directly to the people. That never happened. So I think the result is that people never really were able to galvanize around her. She was never able to go directly to the people with that message. Because mm-hmm. Those negative attacks by Not For Sale NOLA were highly effective. They discredited her. They made it look like she was going to be just a figurehead and not in charge of her own administration.
You said something after it happened that the way you're describing it now, and thank you. Thank you so much. I don't think any other political commentator is going to give us this. Hopefully people are paying attention. They're getting a real education because I haven't seen you wrong on any point yet. And I'm also learning, and you know I know a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
It also legitimizes, and the way they came out too early actually strengthened the Begnarison and Henry endorsement. It made it actually
Thank
made both of those endorsements, because generally, given two major candidates, those endorsements doesn't matter.
Right.
But because they struck too early,
right.
It made the Begnarison and the Henry endorsement invaluable.
Exactly right, which is why on election night you heard the mayor-elect thank those two guys specifically, individually. And Mr. Henry wasn't even at her campaign celebration.
Town.
But she took the time to say, I know he can't even be here, but I want to thank him. So that tells you how important that those endorsements were. It's important that we though continue on in what was happening at the time, because we're still kind of in the runoff, right?
We're going to go to Ralph.
Right.
Line one, Ralph, you're on with Jeff Thomas, OT and Early Bird. Talk to me.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you, sir.
Good. How you doing, Ralph?
I'd like to make a comment on the political election and why Desiree Charbonnet, her ship was sunk because of her endorsement. When she got endorsed by Steve Scalise, a Republican who hates Obama, and also Leon Canizero.
We're going to get to that, but right. That's right.
Great points. Okay. Great points, Mr. Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph. You're right. That's part of the runoff analysis. You're right.
Cedric Richmond, who was the master, give me that last piece of pecan pie, boy. Yeah.
Okay.
So, see, black people may be poor, but they're not ignorant.
That's right.
And they're not blind. And the Fraternal Order of Police endorsed Desiree Charbonnet.
Mm-hmm.
And they also endorsed Donald Trump, 30,000 of them.
Mr. Ralph, great points. You're absolutely. I think that's the beauty of what Jeff is saying, that for political veterans or people who have been in the game so long, why didn't they understand what Mr. Ralph is saying? Because it was to us, it's hiding in plain sight. Mr.
Sure.
Ralph, thank you very much. Great analysis.
Yes, yes. And he's right. And
were they that desperate that they would use these? Because these those names were obvious negatives in the community. Why would you even take that chance?
Well, I'll tell you why. Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, you're talking about three skilled master politicians, Cedric Richmond, Blair Boutte, Ike Spears, successfully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about the who's list on their campaign people that they've worked for is everybody in the state, basically.
Right.
From the governor to current mayor.
Absolutely.
To LaToya Cantrell.
Good at what they do.
Yeah, they really are. But let's look at let's look at what they were faced with at that time. At that time, you had the polls showing you that you were losing in the white community, but you needed to shore up. You thought this. You thought that for sure. Your 7-8-9 paradigm, you were going to win 7-8-9. You thought for sure that you were the black candidate. You thought for sure that your message, because you were the Charbonnet
Jeff,
name.
Every
and
tracking
brand.
Poll we saw from day one, and you and I talked about this months ago.
Yes, we did.
Every tracking poll showed that Cantrell was doing tremendously well with black voters.
That's correct. But they were thinking this. Their thought was this. Now, as smart and as brilliant as those guys are, they could be wrong, and obviously they were. And their assumption was that they would carry the black vote, that they would get enough of the black vote that they
underestimated black folk, like
exactly
Mr. Ralph
right.
said.
Exactly right. And so, but also they saw that they were where they had some possibility of getting votes was the white community. Now let's talk about runoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In runoffs, white turnout is much higher, significantly higher
that can be
than
a
black
vote.
Turnout. So that's how you can win in the runoff.
Let's go to get this caller. Line two, Reverend Calhoun, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Rev.
Who carried the mayor's endorsement? Because it seems like they all asked him to stay out of their
Well, he was involved. Let me say this. Him and many of his major campaign people, they were embedded in campaigns. They weren't sitting on the sidelines, but I don't think he publicly
right.
I don't think any of them wanted that endorsement, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But his people were involved.
Right.
If we look at now where we are going with endorsements and all those type things, is it better not to have those people involved?
Well, Reverend Calhoun, that's a good point because if Jeff and I, and we've talked about this before, the way political brokers and politicians are using endorsements now, they're getting bad advice. People Nicole Shepherd is a perfect example.
There you go.
One political endorsement. Her opponent had every political endorsement. You didn't see the Cantrell campaign even using any of her political endorsements. She spoke directly to folk. Judge Tiffany Chase, in her successful bid this time, didn't use endorsements from other people. She actually spoke to the public. So, some of these political folk are so smart, but they have no relationship with grassroots people. Well, people are rejecting many of these endorsements.
Well, and is that, and it's also the other thing is this. Social media has changed politics in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. These old organizations do things the old way. They are not up on social media. That's their biggest problem. The reason that they...
Is the machine broken?
The machine's broken.
The
machine's going to write its ship, I think, though, Rev. But you're right.
Thank you,
Reverend
Calhoun.
Broken. Yeah, 100%
thank you,
right. Yes.
No, machine's broken.
The machine's broken. The machine is not up on social media.
The ship be sinking. Doesn't mean it's going to sink, but it be sinking.
They're going to write itself. They're going to figure out that social media is what's killing these machines, and these machines are going to – you're going to see – my prediction is this. You always ask me for predictions and that kind of stuff. The prediction is whatever political organization is able to
get
social media –
get back to grassroots.
And get back to grassroots, they are going to be successful. And it may not be bold, cold, cool – soul or life,
it may be OT and Jeff Thomas, 504.
Let's do it. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, but the point seriously is that the new paradigm has to include social media because that's where people are.
Now, before you leave, let's talk about where we are right now.
Okay. Yes.
We have a mayor-elect.
Yes, we do.
Overwhelmingly, mandate 60-40.
Third biggest
margin in the history of the mayor's race.
Right.
We have people calling our show and saying we didn't vote for her, but we want her to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see this effort to discredit, if ultimately,
right.
to indict or
right.
stop her from serving.
Right.
As I move around, that's even backfiring
right.
in terms
that's
of
right.
the public.
That's right. So a couple of things about that. You know, first of all, the court that what is the saying that the horse is out the barn or whatever it is?
Yeah, the horse is out of the barn.
This has got to go forward because part of the white strategy of the Charbonnet campaign was to get Leon Cannizzaro to send this up to Jeff Landry so that they could further smear. And that was part of a revenge
Jeff Landry
tactic.
Was reluctant early on.
Exactly. The revenge
But now he has leverage.
Right. Right, exactly right. So now for him, this is a good thing. I don't think that he's going to be able to do anything. He's either going to indict LaToya Cantrell and the entire city council.
Every other elected official that has done use this practice.
And the state of Louisiana, I mean, the whole credit card, everybody's going to get indicted or nobody's going to get indicted. And I would think nobody's going to get indicted. But the thing is, though, that this makes a good media, this makes a good press for Jeff Landry. And
it gives him leverage.
It gives him leverage against the mayor-elect, and it gives him leverage against the city of New Orleans, and it gets his name out there, and it makes it look like he's going to keep black people in their place for those people in North Louisiana who like that kind of thing. So this is a good political bone for him. He's going to use it as much as he can, as long as he can. He's going to dangle it.
But it could backfire.
Well, it can't backfire for him, because I don't think it could backfire if he brings an indictment. I don't think he's going to bring an indictment. That's not going to happen. So I don't think that LaToya Cantrell, the mayor-elect, she's going to have to fight with it for 3 months or so, but I don't think that she is going to need
So let's talk work. About governing. We have okay. the first African-American female.
Beautiful thing.
Which ought to be celebrated.
Should be.
Grassroots people, for the first time in a long time, rejected boss politics.
Yes.
So what happens now?
Right. So now the good thing is that LaToya Cantrell has a mandate. LaToya Cantrell can express her vision. I hope that she does away with these traffic cameras, which I say contribute to crime. She says she's going to do that. I'm happy to hear it. I hope that she does some of the economic
groups like
development.
Women on the Move and independent organizations are calling this to people first election.
Right. Listen, this is an opportunity to make New Orleans the greatest place it can be. And the way it's going to be great is to employ black men and women, but particularly black men who suffer around 50% unemployment. Mm-hmm. In this city. If we don't stop that, if we don't change that paradigm, if we don't fix that, we're going to continue to have crime, we're going to continue to have poor educational outcomes, we're going to continue to have the same issues that we've had. Always. The solution is jobs for black people. The first time I came on your show, Oliver Thomas, I said that. Every time I come on your show and say that, we got to hire black men that will solve the problem in New Orleans. I'm sorry for beating on your table.
Jeff Thomas, we came full circle. You talked about how dire it is. We talked about some of the challenges, the pitfalls.
Yes.
We've talked about potential indictments. We've talked about the negative campaigning.
Yes.
The Willie Hortonizing black men again.
Yes.
Making them the boogeyman.
Yes.
But with all of that, you said if we can come together,
yes,
this could potentially, with the election of this young woman, this could be a good opportunity.
Listen, New Orleans is really a
and
great place to live.
And people should celebrate it.
New Orleans could be, Atlanta and Houston and New Orleans were all about the same size 40 years ago.
Troy Henry's speech.
Exactly right. And New Orleans could be that. I love Troy's idea, by the way, about making New Orleans East Hospital a African-American village.
Let's make it a city within a city.
I'm with it. Listen, it's going to start with hiring black men. Put black men to work. If you go to Think 504, you'll be able to see Put Black Men to Work. Read that article, and that is the solution for the city of New Orleans.
Jeff Thomas, you promised to come back.
Brother, every time you have
you promised to keep
us
abreast of the transition.
I'm looking forward to doing it. Thank you for having me.
And how can people subscribe to?
Go to think504.com. Subscribe's on the right side.
Making New Orleans what?
Think.
Making us think. When we come back, talking about making us think, one of the great writers and authors from our community, Seven Sisters of Algiers.
All right.
Something to talk about, no doubt. The great Kathy Smith after the break.